are going to continue our sermon series on seven Bible verses that changed my life, and I am so enjoying this. One of the things that's come up, though, is people have asked me, really, was there only seven Bible verses that changed your life? I think I really should change the title and call it the seven top Bible verses that changed my life, because when I was putting this together, I made a list, and there was at least 20, and I just stopped because there's so many. Because truthfully, this book is not an ordinary book. It's just not your regular ink and paper. There's something special about this book. I believe it's alive with God's presence. Somehow God makes himself known, and he speaks through this book. And there are, I just know there are moments, and I think all of you can say yes to this. There are moments when you're reading the book, and all of a sudden it's like something jumps off the page. You have this encounter with God, and it's like you hear his voice, and it's almost like he's talking right to you, you know. So that's what we're talking about over these weeks here. And this morning we'll do another Bible verse that literally changed my life. I mean, so much so, I remember distinctly sitting in a living room of our apartment. I was a Christian maybe about 4 years at the time, and I was doing some study on the passage we'll be looking at this morning. It's found in 1 John chapter 1. I was doing some preparatory study, and I was reading chapter 1, and then it was like a light went on, and all of a sudden, like, oh, I see it. I felt like I heard God speak to me, and I clearly remember him saying like this, like, Dave, in this passage, what we were reading about is forgiveness, and Dave, when I forgive you, I really forgive you. It's over. It's gone. And I felt like I heard him say, I completely forget your sins. Like that. And it was like, oh, I get it. I see it here. I see it. And it really transformed my understanding of forgiveness. It just gave me what I would call a more broad biblical understanding of forgiveness, and has affected me ever since then. So I trust and hope that you'll hear this morning. It's profound stuff. The scriptures, when they open up, man, they are profound. So let's read. If you have your Bibles, I want to read the passage. We're going to read a section of chapter 1, start in verse 7. This is toward the back of the Bible, right before the book of Revelations. You have 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. But this one is verse 7, chapter 1. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So the passage that just like jumped off the page for me is really one verse in particular. It's verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This passage has become like a pillar in my Christian life. The first part of it is telling us why is it that God can forgive us our sins? It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. This is telling us why it is that God can forgive us our sins. He forgives us our sins because he's faithful and just. What that's saying is, it's right, it's just for him to forgive us our sins. It's legal. The word just means doing what is morally right. And what this is telling us is that God forgives us our sins because it was morally correct for him to do so, because our sins were paid for by Jesus. We had a debt. We were sinners, and because of our sins, we have a death penalty upon us. We were cursed by sin, and so we had a debt we could not pay. Jesus is born without sin. This is why the virgin birth is so significant. He's born without sin. He lives a life without sin, and he doesn't have the curse of sin upon his body. Literally, Jesus would never have died. He had no curse in his body. And so that's why in the Gospels you hear Jesus saying on different occasions, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down willingly. And so when the Bible is saying God is faithful and just, it's saying that Jesus paid the debt for us so that it's legal. So in other words, when we talk about God forgiving us our sins, it doesn't mean like God looked at you and you said, God, I'm really sorry for my sin, And God said, okay, that's all right. I'll just let you slide. He's not letting us slide. It's not as though he's a business owner, and sometimes if you're in business and you have a debt that a customer doesn't pay, you end up at the end of the year stamping it, and you say, you know, unpaid bill. You know, it's never going to be paid. You stamp it, it's not going to be paid. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus is forgiving us because our debt was paid. And so the first thing this did to me, I just got this revelation. Oh my gosh, I truly can be confident in my salvation. This is not an arrogant point of view where you say, well, I'm sure I'm saved. I'm sure I'm saved because my debt has been paid. I'm not sure of my salvation because I'm a good person. I'm not sure of my salvation because I do good things. I'm not sure of my salvation because God's letting me slide. He's just looking the other way. I'm sure of my salvation because he is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me. The second part that totally transformed my life is when it says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. I never realized that there were two parts to this forgiveness. In other words, I understood if I confess my sins, God forgives me. I understood that. That means God says, Dave, your debt is paid, and I'm no longer mad at you. Really, that's what that implies, and it really implies a restored relationship. I understood that. Okay, I'm forgiven. What I didn't understand is the second part, and it said, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of a sudden, I realized, wait a minute, cleanse me? What does that mean? It means he removes the stain of sin. It means he expunges the record. It means he deleted the sin from the video of my life. It means it is as though it never happened. Isaiah the prophet in the Old Testament had a little glimpse of this in a couple different places, but one chapter, verse 43, God is speaking and he says through Isaiah, I will not remember your sins anymore. Another place he says, I'll remove them as far as the east is from the west. I will not remember them. It's as though it never happened. This cleansing is telling us, in a sense, I mean, I think this is literal, God is saying, when you confess your sins, God is saying, I forgive you and I cleanse you. So what he's saying is, I'm forgetting your sin. I'm forgetting it. Now think about this. God forgetting your sin. God forgetting your sin. Like we talk about what you should forgive and forget, right? You've heard people say that. But the truth is, when we really forget something, it's more of a flaw. It's a character flaw. We don't have the capability of truly forgetting. Stuff that happens to us gets imprinted in our brain, and it's there, and something, some event, some word, some activity can trigger that memory. It's there. When we forget, it's more like a mistake. It's a flaw, like, oh, I forgot her birthday. That's a problem. I forgot our anniversary. You know, that's a problem. That's not something we're proud of. If I say, hey, it's forgiven and forgotten, it means I'm going to do my best to forget it. I'm not going to bring it up. But I don't have the ability to wipe my brain free of that memory. God does. I will remember it no more. I will cleanse it. He truly does wash it away. But I think, okay, I think there's a lot of confusion about this. I know there was for me. Again, I understood forgiveness, but I had read there's other Bible passages, like Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. He said, talking about when we get to heaven, or it seems to be talking about heaven, he talks about Judgment Day, and he says, everything you've ever done in secret is going to be brought out and shouted from the rooftops. He says, everything done in darkness is going to be brought to light. Then you have Paul talking about Judgment Day, and he says that every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of God. Every one of us are going to be held accountable and judged for our deeds, whether they be good or bad. And so because of that, I think there's some confusion among Christians. Like, I know God has forgiven me, but I think really he kind of has forgiven me. It's just kind of what was going on in my mind prior to this revelation. In other words, I thought like, okay, I'm forgiven, so that means I'm going to heaven. I had that piece settled. What I wasn't sure of is what is it going to be like when I die and go to heaven? And I got this picture, well, it's not going to be pretty. Like, I was going to get there, and God's going to have this, I used to say videotape, but God would have this DVD of my life, and he'd put it on a 75-inch screen or a screen this big, and, 6 billion or 100 billion people are all sitting there eating popcorn, and he plays my life, and every sin I've ever committed, every bad thought I've ever had is going to be played on that screen. And then I'm feeling like a total jerk, and then God says, you know what, Dave, it's okay. I'm going to let you in anyway. Come on. And I get to slip into heaven. That was kind of the confusion I had in my mind because of these passages. And I just didn't understand this cleansing where he says, forgive and cleanse. I think what happens is if we get that picture in our minds, that when we die, we have to be embarrassed publicly, it's almost as if we're saying Jesus' death was enough to kind of get us to heaven, but there's something we have to do to really get in. And when you put it in those kind of words, you realize, well, that's not biblically correct at all. Jesus' death was enough that my sins could be forgiven and that I could be cleansed from all of my sins. So what are these verses that talk about, Judgment Day, how do they apply to my life? Well, the way they apply to my life is when I confess my sins to God, then my sins are brought to the light. And once I confess them to God, God cleanses me. He forgives me and cleanses me, and it's as though it never happened. This concept of cleansing, as you read through the New Testament, I challenge you to start looking for it because it's found everywhere. Like, there's a passage in, Paul wrote about this a lot in his letters, but there's one passage in 2 Corinthians where Paul says, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God. So Paul's saying, because of this work Jesus did, you're now righteous. I think there's a lot of Christians that probably would take issue with that. Well, I'm kind of maybe righteous. Not really. No, yes, really. That's the cleansing. You have been made righteous in the eyes of God. It is as though your sins never happened. He washes you clean. There's another passage in 1 Corinthians. Paul's writing to the church of Corinth, and he says, it is my hope and desire, my mission in life, he says, is to present all of you before God blameless. Blameless means without accusation. Blameless doesn't mean you come before God, all your sins are shown on a screen, and then Jesus says, yeah, well, I died for your sins, so you're forgiven, so then you're acquitted and you get into heaven. That's not blameless. Blameless means your life story is edited. It's the best way I can describe it. It's edited, and so all of your sins are washed away, and the video is only of your life in obedience to Christ. This is what awaits us in heaven, not this shaming that like, well, I'm going to get there, but it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be glorious. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in. And of course, we may be overwhelmed like, really? Yeah, really. I see you as blameless. You're without flaw. I believe that's even in the here and now. I think God sees us through Jesus' sacrifice, and we are the righteousness of God through Jesus. I believe we are blameless before God because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Now there's one little, piece that we have to look at here, and that is the prerequisite for this forgiveness and cleansing, and that is confession. If, that's one of those little words, if we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. Confessing our sin is very different than saying, excuse me, I made a mistake. Confessing our sin is very different than saying, it's not my fault. And I am convinced in today's society and in the church, there is a lot of confusion about confession. In other words, it's very different to say, I'm an alcoholic because I was born this way, or saying, I'm an alcoholic because I gave in to the temptation of sin. That's what we're talking about, confession. It's very different to say, I lost my temper at you because I was born this way, than if you say, I lost my temper because I gave in to the temptation of anger. There's a big difference between saying, I'm confessing my sin, I'm taking ownership and personal responsibility, or blame it in on someone else or something else. Here, if there's any takeaway we can have about this when it comes to confession, here's the takeaway. We are all born with a predisposition to sin. Every one of us. We're born. We inherited from our father Adam the predisposition to sin. We are born to sin, to be drawn to sin. So, because I'm born into sin, if I have a predisposition to be immoral and want to sleep with someone outside of marriage, do I give in to that? No. I don't give in to it because I'm born that way. If I'm born with a desire to like nice and expensive things, do I give in to that because I'm born that way? And I go and steal because I can't afford it. And I say, it's not my fault. I was born this way. Of course you're born that way. We're all born broken. And the confession is taking ownership and saying, I sin. Actually, the word confession means to call it as it is. It means to agree with what you're looking at with God. When God says it's sin, confession means I agree with you, God. It is sin. I committed it. Please forgive me. And the problem is today in our society, no one's wrong. You know, everything is a disease. Everything is, I'm born this way. It's my mom and dad's fault. It's my boss's fault. It's the government's fault. I mean, it just goes on and on. It's my sibling's fault. No. We are born with a predisposition to sin. We have a choice to make. And the choice is simply this. Do we confess our sins to God, take ownership and responsibility, or do we try to find excuses? The promise is here. This is an incredible promise. This is why it just totally transformed my life. In one verse, I got the revelation. I get it now. I get it. I just have to confess my sin to God. I just have to take ownership. God, I screwed up. I'm not going to blame somebody else. Because if I confess, God is going to follow the law. It's just for him to say, well, Dave, I'm putting the penalty of your sin on Jesus because he could pay for it. He had the equity. He had a life that was eternal. He's given his life for you, so it's just. And I'm going to forgive you, and I'm going to cleanse you so there's no stain of sin on your life. I'm telling you, if you buy into this, it'll transform your understanding of God and the greatness of the work of Jesus. When we die, I'm not part of the debate where some people say, well, when you get to heaven, you're still going to have your sins brought before you. I believe with all my heart, when I die, my video will be edited and clean and blameless. Now, some people's videos might be shorter than others. Okay? Let's be honest about it. Like you ever wonder how long was the video of the thief on the cross? It's like, I might have been just 2 seconds, you know? I'm sorry. You get in. Woo! That's all, just a real short video. But you know what? It's clean, man. The video is clean because if you confess your sins, you bring it to the light, God is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. Remember, there's two parts that go on there. Forgive means the bill has been paid. Cleansing means the stain removed. It's as though it never happened. You stand before God blameless and righteous because of the work of Jesus. Amen? I'm telling you, that'll change your life. Let's pray. God, I thank you for how your word can just totally transform our lives. And we recognize that there's something special about the Bible. And I pray, God, as we continue to go through this series, that we're drawn to the book and we're listening to your voice and we hear you speak to us. And God, some of these Bible verses just become part of our lives. They transform how we act, how we think, how we go through life. I thank you that you've given it to us and we have the freedom to read it. And I pray, God, that you continue to use it in all of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just challenge you to say that scripture. See if you can say that and believe it in your heart. That God has forgiven me and cleansed me. God has forgiven me and cleansed me. You've confessed your sins. He's forgiven you and cleansed you. Cleansed you. I just know that there's some of us here today struggling. You know, the sins of the past that just haunt us sometimes. Bad decisions we made, and the devil's really good about bringing it up. But I just want you to know God's not bringing it up. God is not bringing it up. He's forgotten it. He can do that. Maybe this morning you just get a grip on that and say, God, I've confessed it. I accept that forgiveness. I accept that cleansing. Today, I'm blameless because of Jesus. I'm righteous because of Jesus. If there's some of you here struggling with that this morning, can we just pray with you? Just that God would just clear that in your mind, that you embrace it, you accept it, and you walk with it, and that you hear that voice. You confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you're struggling with that this morning, if it just doesn't come freely out of your mouth, you just do me a favor. I want to pray with you. Just hold your hand up. We're going to pray with you this morning that God would make that a part of your life and that you let go of stuff that's just followed you around. Just hold your hand up right now. We're going to pray for you. Ask that God's Holy Spirit, if there's hands right here, that God's Holy Spirit is just going to set you free. Not going to haunt you. Yep, there's a hand right here. You can say those scriptures and say, yes, they're mine. Today, you're going to let go of stuff that have just followed you around like a dark cloud. You say, no, I've confessed it. He's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me. Anybody else? We're just going to pray for you. Just raise your hand. We're going to pray for you. God set you free and instill in your heart the truth of scripture. Yep, hand over here. All right, Father, I pray right now for each of these hands that are raised. Here, right back here, all the way back here. Come on. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray today, God, they get the revelation of the complete work of forgiveness. God, that you forgive them as they confess their sins to you. You forgive them. God, today, cleanse them. Cleanse them as though it never happened, that they would be the righteousness of God through Christ today. They would be blameless, cleansed, set free, delivered, God, that they might walk in the newness of life that you have given. In the name of Jesus, I pray for each hand raised. In Jesus' name, amen.